Welcome to the Florida Roundup here on Florida Public Radio. Thanks for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
And I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. And we're talking about guns for the full hour today on the show. Lots to get into. First up, a new ruling says local politicians no longer face the threat of a $5,000 fine or being removed from office if they try to pass gun control laws. Now, this doesn't mean cities and counties are free to pass whatever rules and laws they want about guns. It just says they can't be fined or fired if they try.
It was a week ago when a state judge upheld a state law banning local officials from okaying gun control measures that are more strict than state laws. But the judge threw out the penalties if they tried to do it. He said fining and throwing local officials out of office for passing such a law would be unconstitutional. Now, the state here, Melissa, is appealing this decision.
That's right. And local gun laws, we need to point out, have been banned in Florida since the late 1980s. But these new penalties were put into state law back in 2011. No local official has ever actually been fined. St. Petersburg Mayor Rick Kreisman is among the mayors who sued the state over this.
A backyard gun range in a very rural community might not be a problem. But in my city, it's a big problem when we have homes that are merely hundreds of feet apart and someone is setting up a backyard gun range. And so a preemption which prohibits me from in any way keeping my citizens safe is intolerable.
So we're going to begin the hour with a closer look at this ruling. And here's our question right now, Florida. Do you think your town or city should be able to enact its own rules around guns? How would that work in context with state laws? Is there a gun show, a shooting range near you? Where do you stand on Second Amendment issues? Give us a call. It's 305-995-1800 and tweet us. Already getting your tweets at Florida Roundup.
Weston, Florida sits on the edge of the Everglades in Broward County. It was the lead plaintiff in this case, which led to the ruling a week ago. Daniel Sturmer is the mayor of Weston and joins us here on the Florida Roundup. Mayor Sturmer, welcome.
Good afternoon, Tom. Thanks for having
me.
So
will you try to enact gun measures in the city of Weston, Florida now?
My desire is to do yes. My guess is my city attorney will counsel me now that the state has filed its notice of appeal, which stays Judge Dotson's ruling. The penalties are back in place, so he will counsel the commission if we bring something forward that we shouldn't be doing that or subject ourselves to the penalties that we believe should have been struck by the court and will be upheld by the first DCA.
While the district court, while the stay is in place, the fines and the possibility of expulsion from office remain, is that going to deter you from bringing gun control measures up for your fellow counselors?
It won't deter me. As I've said from day one.
So will you propose an ordinance?
I have prepared an ordinance last year, and I'm prepared to bring forth another one. Whether it goes as far as the one last year or tries to, around the edges, figure out exactly what should be permitted pursuant to the preemption, let's be clear. The preemption that came into place in 1987 remains. This lawsuit was about the penalties in 2011 that came in. So regardless of what this decision is in the appellate court regarding these penalties, the underlying preemption stays in place. Now, I'm opposed to that preemption and want to get to it, but this is at the moment a very narrow issue that really doesn't have anything to do with guns. This has to do with penalties that can be imposed upon elected officials who venture into the area of guns.
Mayor Sturmer, of course this will be appealed, but for now at least, the potential of fines and expulsion over gun control legislation, it no longer hangs like a threat over local governments. The plaintiffs in this lawsuit primarily came from South Florida. How do you expect other cities and counties around the state to respond to this ruling?
I expect us all to be in the same place. When we started this lawsuit last April, one of the things we specifically did was reach out. I personally reached out to every mayor across the state and asked them to join us. And we have mayors from North, South, East, and West Florida. That way it wasn't just a South Florida issue. Whether it's mayors in the Panhandle, whether it's mayors up in former Mayor Gillum, whether it's
from
mayors
Tallahassee.
In Tallahassee, whether it's folks in the Orlando area, we have statewide consensus. Again, this penalty provision was the only place in Florida law that personal penalties in a preemption situation exist for local officials. Why is this issue, guns, so important that people are putting so much effort into penalizing elected officials for taking a stand to do something in their community when the governor and the legislature preempt us on many issues and those same penalties don't exist? Why is this actually different?
And, you know, it's interesting to note the, as you said, you feel mayors are speaking with one voice across the state in Florida. That said, you know, city leaders of dense urban areas often have a different take about gun legislation and their role in ensuring public safety than leaders in less populated areas. There's a real divide between urban and rural parts of the state on this issue. What are your thoughts about that as the mayor of a lot of people, a dense urban part of the state?
And let me say this. My city is 70,000 people, and as Tom said, I'm on the edge of the Everglades. Mm-hmm. But I'm surrounded by the town of Davie and the town of Southwest Ranches, which are rural in nature. So understand, that's why I say this issue isn't about getting to guns. This is about the penalty provision. If we want to get to the underlying preemption, I'm a believer that every community should have the right to decide what's good for that community. Because as you said, North Florida, Central Florida, where homes are larger, more separated, believe differently in firearms and their communities accept them differently than we do. I'm not saying the person who lives next to me might not have an arsenal in their home and that's their right to do so, but whether they should be allowed to go in their backyard and shoot at a range in the backyard in a city of 70,000 compared to a city of a few thousand in rural Florida are different natures.
We are talking about guns this hour here on the Florida Roundup, a ruling a week ago by a state judge in Leon County threw out penalties that local politicians could face if they enact gun measures different than state law, although still allowing the underlying law, which does not allow local municipalities from having any more strict gun legislation than what is allowed in state law. 305-995-1800. The phone number again, 305-995-1800, or at Florida Roundup on Twitter. Gary Fineout joins us now, a reporter for Politico. He's with us from our studios inside the Miami Herald in Doral. Gary, walk us back to, I think it was 2011, when these penalties were put into this legislation. Why were they added?
Well, I think it's pretty clear why they were added. They were added as an insurance policy in terms of to make it clear that any actions that dealt with guns would be dealt with in a particular fashion. And I think it's kind of interesting is that the NRA has already on its website been touting the fact that the case has been appealed in terms of how much they are, you know, concerned about it. But I mean, the fact of the matter is that the argument at the time was that they needed to have make sure that local officials were, quote, not infringing on Second Amendment rights.
And of course, it will be appealed. Let me ask you as a follow-up, Gary. In Florida, this is a particularly painful issue after the mass shooting in Parkland, the mass shooting at the Pulse nightclub in Orlando. Share with us from where you sit in the state capitol the tension we're seeing between where state government is in Tallahassee and increasingly cities and municipalities around Florida that say they want to do more to ensure the safety of their populations.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it was abundantly clear that with what happened in the last year and a half, that things did change in the wake of primarily Parkland, as we all know that there was not a lot of activity that occurred right after the Pulse shootings in the halls of the legislature. There was a reaction in Parkland due to Parkland, but even that was a limited reaction. I mean, there was definitely, and I would remind everyone that part of the law that was passed last year is still tied up in federal court. The NRA did challenge part of that law that passed after Parkland. There's not really been a lot of activity with that case. It's kind of been hung up in the 11th Circuit.
You mean the law raising the age?
The law that raised the age.
For long guns.
For
rifles. Right, correct.
For
going
rifles,
from 18 to 21. But the situation is that as we saw this past year in the session where they expanded the Guardian program to include teachers on a voluntary basis, that was hotly contested, but eventually it was passed. And so, I mean, I think the question that remains is whether or not what happened in the direct aftermath of Parkland was a brief window where Florida went in a different direction, and whether or not that momentum can be sustained in the future.
Gary, what's interesting is, and this goes back to, for me, before Parkland, in 2013 and 2014, bills were filed in the Florida legislature dealing, at my request, dealing with the preemption issue. Those two bills in 13 and 14 were never heard in any committee. Mm-hmm. So this is not an issue that, granted, what happened on February 14th, 2018, shocked and was appalling to all of us, regardless of where you live. But it just became the latest issue as to why we wanted to talk about this issue. So for me, I'm a former prosecutor. I used to deal with murderers and drug dealers. So I saw firsthand what firearms and guns, particularly high-velocity rifles, can do to a human being's body. So for me, this is personal. But it's, again, this case is not about guns. It's about the penalties that Ms. Hammer and Representative Gates put in place.
Matt Gates, former state representative, now U.S. Congressman.
And Marion Hammer, you're referring to the head of the NRA in Florida.
I am.
Let's just, so people understand, yeah, what you're talking about there.
We've got plenty
and
of phone calls
And lots of calls
here.
Coming yep. in, yeah.
Yeah, let's start in Tampa with Gregory on line three. Go ahead, Gregory. You're on the radio.
Hi, thank you for having me. I was just calling to voice, I think, an overall concern that the state government in Florida is dramatically influenced by the special interests that control the gun lobby. I think this is largely an interest to basically guarantee a steady cash flow into the gun production industry, and basically limiting the constitutional rights of those elected to regulate a rather serious public health issue.
Gregory, thank you for that. Gary, I mean, any sense of how big the gun business is in the state of Florida? There's a little bit of manufacturing of semi-automatic weapons, for instance, here in South Florida. Gun shows, certainly a bit of a economic impact for those communities that have them, when they have them.
I don't off the top of my head, although I know that the state economists right now are trying to figure that out as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I know you're going to touch on this topic later, because of that proposed ban on types of semi-automatic rifles, one of the things that economists are charged with doing is coming up with a financial impact statement. And I know that right now they are doing their best to try to figure out all those numbers in terms of what it really means if you make serious policy changes.
And lots of tweets coming into the Florida Roundup. No surprise. This is such a deeply felt issue. Here's one from Carl. There are too many guns in our communities with too few restrictions. You can't even go to your Publix without the fear of some careless person dropping their purse and shooting someone with an unsecured weapon. Let communities decide, he says. Rural communities might have different needs. Here's another tweet from Cecil. These penalties were added because counties and cities were ignoring the preemptive law and enacting their own gun control, which is in the purview of the state. Mayor, I'll get your reaction to that in just a moment. But first, let me bring in one more call. It's Lynn in Clearwater. Hi, Lynn. You're on the radio.
Hi. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure. Go ahead.
So basically, I live in Clearwater. We have a gun range that happens to be part of a chain here in Florida, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say their name or not, but when it comes to safety, I thought, okay, I have a gun. I need to take a safety course. I want to be proactive. And I was really disappointed because halfway through the class, it turned into an NRA speech about how they're trying to take away our guns, and we need to protect ourselves, and we need to get as much as we can. And it was less about safety. And I think that's the part that bothers me. Is that it is actually a question of safety. Each group, each community has their own kind of consensus about that. And to know that the NRA is kind of trying to undermine all of that really kind of ticks me off.
Lynn, thanks for that. That's Lynn in Clearwater. Mayor Weston, let me get you to react to that. And also the tweet from a listener who feels that municipalities overstepped their bounds on this issue. What about all that?
Let me respond this way. One, I understand lawful carrying and owning of weaponry, and whether or not people feel that if they go from city to city, town to town, the rules may be different from place to place, and they may be put in a bad situation purely by traveling. I don't believe any local elected official is trying to set up a trap for lawful gun owners carrying weaponry in their city.
But it could happen.
Which is why I think many of the things people are talking about doing are reasonable and responsible. I'm not aware of any city in this state of the 412 that are looking to ban weapons. Let me be clear. And again, I come back to say this isn't about the Second Amendment. People want to make this about it. I'm not looking to make this about it. I have personal feelings. In my city, the question is, should firearms be allowed in city-owned facilities? You look at what happened in Virginia Beach a month and a half mm-hmm. ago. Now, granted, it's an employee that had access. But you know what? Folks that have a concealed weapons permit are allowed into city halls and governments all over the state of Florida, but they can't carry their weapon into the chamber when the council is meeting. Why are the elected officials so important that only during that meeting you're not allowed to carry your gun when staff is in our city halls and in our public works building every day and they're okay? I'm sorry. I'm just one person. I may have a title and I don't like my title, but I'm no more important than my staff members who are in city hall every day and they're exposed. So I believe we should be allowed to have the choice to or not to. And I'm not suggesting there should be a statewide decision on what to do, but local
and
communities
Mayor,
should have that right to decide.
Mayor Sturmer, when you look at the polling on this, the majority of Florida voters are on your side of this. The latest Quinnipiac poll shows 59% of the state's residents want stricter gun control laws. Does the polling, along with the recent ruling on this, do you feel it's giving your case more momentum to move on this issue?
I'm hopeful of it, but at the end, we have to come back to what Judge Dotson ruled last Friday when he struck certain provisions of the law, understanding Judge Dotson's ruling found certain claims in favor of the state. So it's not like Judge Dotson said...
The preemption being the significant one, that the state is within its right to ban local ordinances regarding guns.
Correct, but Judge Dotson also ruled that the preemption doesn't prohibit local elected officials from speaking. So I can sit on my dais, or somebody can sit in Tallahassee or in Pensacola and say what they want as long as we don't enact a piece of an ordinance. So the decision is well-rounded and well-based and based on United States Supreme Court precedent, Florida precedent, and I think the first DCA will uphold the decision. But to have the state attorney general's office argue that the removal provision by the governor was filling the gaps, I'm a former assistant attorney general in this state, and that argument to me didn't hold water. The Constitution provides the governor's ability to suspend mm-hmm. officials if they're charged with a crime. This went further than that.
And we've seen that in Broward County, the county where Weston is, the town that you are the mayor of. In our final 30 seconds here with you, Mr. Mayor, you spoke about ordinances that you have introduced in the past, ordinances regarding firearms that you're considering now. What is the priority for you as the mayor of Weston regarding firearms and ordinances?
My priority is to try to ensure that in public buildings and in publicly owned facilities, our residents feel safe.
So you'd like to ban firearms from public buildings?
I believe they should be banned in public facilities in my city. Again, and these would be done with clearly posted signs at entrances to every building. If you come into a park, we'd put back up the signs we took down years ago.
And you're going to put that on the agenda for the council in Weston?
I want to put it on the agenda for August 19th.
Right.
We'll see where we go.
Lots of people
All
watching,
right.
certainly. Mayor Sturmer, Daniel Sturmer, the mayor of the city of Weston, along with us. Thank you for your time, Your Honor. Gary Fineout, stick around. We got plenty more to talk about, including this proposed ballot amendment regarding assault weapons. That's next.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundup, and thanks for being with us this Friday. I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville.
And I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. In the fall of 2020, when Floridians are helping choose who will be president, they may also be able to decide if a new amendment banning assault weapons should be added to the state constitution. The state Supreme Court is reviewing the proposal now to decide if it will appear on the ballot.
But Attorney General Ashley Moody wants the court to throw it out. She argues the proposed title and summary that would appear on the ballot is misleading. Moody argues the amendment would, quote, ban the possession of virtually every semi-automatic long gun, end quote. This, even though the amendment doesn't actually tell voters that.
Now, exactly which guns would be outlawed under this proposed constitutional amendment is posing a puzzle for lots of folks, including state economists. They have to figure out how the ban would affect state revenues, if at all. But first, they have to figure out which weapons could not be sold if the amendment appears on the ballot and if it is approved. Amy Baker is the head of the legislature's Office of Economic and Demographic Research.
That is everything to us. That's how many sales are potentially being affected and what manufacturing activities are potentially being affected. So it is a critical piece. It is not a cut and dried issue.
That's just the economic question around a potential ban of assault weapons. Here's the question for you this hour on the Florida Roundup. Do you support a constitutional ban on assault weapons here in Florida? What weapons could be banned under this proposal? Maybe you own a semi-automatic long gun. Share your experiences with us. The phone lines are open, 305-995-1800, 305-995-1800, or at Florida Roundup.
Now, we did invite Florida Attorney General Ashley Moody to take part in our discussion today. Didn't hear back from her office. But here is a statement her spokesperson released a little while ago saying, quote, "Regardless of your position on gun restrictions, this proposed ballot language is a trick. The drafters of this proposal have confused voters by creating a misleading definition of assault weapons, which would include a majority of the most popular hunting rifles and shotguns," end quote. Gail Schwartz is leading the charge to put this proposed amendment on the 2020 ballot in Florida. She is the chairperson of the Political Action Committee Ban Assault Weapons Now. And Gail, thanks so much for being with us. You know, you're the aunt of Alex Schachter, one of the victims of the mass shooting in Parkland. So our condolences to you and your family. Certainly, this issue is quite personal for you. Let me begin by asking your reaction to Attorney General Moody opposing this amendment, saying it's misleading. What's your response to that?
You know what? Now Floridians know who she really answers to, which is the NRA. She's more interested in protecting the NRA than she is protecting Floridians.
And why do you say that? She's saying this isn't about where people stand on guns, but that your proposed ballot language is misleading. Is the language misleading to voters? Tell us what voters will be asked to weigh if this makes it onto the ballot next year.
Well, I think she's underestimating voters. The reason why this whole process appealed to me in the beginning was because it's up to the voters to decide. It's called a citizens' initiative. So I decided to begin this process because we can't depend on our elected leaders, the majority in Tallahassee, to protect us and to make us safer. And so I wanted to take this issue directly to the voters and see what they have to say. I know that the majority of Floridians, if given the opportunity to decide to get these weapons of war out of our neighborhoods and out of our state and stop the sale of them coming in, would overwhelmingly support this issue. And frankly, this shouldn't be about partisan politics. I'm so tired of this being a political issue. This is about safety and making sure that our family members come home alive.
Right. And certainly, as we talked about earlier in the hour, the polling in Florida does support stricter gun control measures. Let me ask you a little bit about the letter of the law. The federal law defines a semi-automatic rifle as any repeating rifle which utilizes a portion of the energy of a firing cartridge to extract that case and chamber the next round, and also requires a separate pull of the trigger to fire the cartridge. This ballot language proposal defines, though, a semi-automatic weapon as any weapon which fires a single projectile or a number of ball shots through a rifled or smooth bore for each single function of the trigger without further manual action required. Could the strict parsing of the language of this be a problem for your organization, Ban Assault Weapons Now, as you seek the necessary number of signatures to get this onto the ballot next year?
I don't believe it will. I'm very confident that Floridians are tired after two mass shootings of the rampant bloodshed in our communities. Because assault rifles are designed for one purpose and one purpose only, which is to discharge 50 rounds of extremely lethal ammunition in less than 1 minute and creates massive fatal injuries, I think that makes them very different from what you're going to go hunting with or protect your home with.
We're talking about guns in Florida here this hour on the Florida Roundup, speaking specifically about a proposed constitutional amendment that may appear on the 2020 ballot, asking Florida voters whether or not to ban assault weapons in the state. Gary Fineout is still along with us from Politico. You can join our conversation, by the way, 305-995-1800, that phone number, 305-995-1800, or at Florida Roundup on Twitter. Gary, this question now sits with the Supreme Court. That's the group who is now to decide, not the merit of the question, but whether or not it has gone through the proper process to appear on the 2020 ballot. What do we know about the folks who are sitting on the court who are going to be deciding this as the court has been reconstituted to some degree with Governor Ron DeSantis?
Right, correct. And so basically the court has a limited role in reviewing citizen initiatives, and that's basically they have to look at whether or not it sticks to a single subject and whether or not the ballot title and summary are clear and unambiguous, and that those are the main parameters that they have to live by. And the situation is that we do have a completely new court in terms of the fact that Governor DeSantis put three new people on the court. They all have come from a background of they are the type of they are viewed as conservative in their ideology in terms of the way that they would approach this. One of the people who is one of the new justice, I mean, two of them come from South Florida, but another mm-hmm. one is a gentleman by the name of Carlos Munoz, who used to be a top aide to Governor Jeb Bush. And, I think that we're beginning to see them hand out various decisions in the last few months. They've already shown a tendency to, they're very willing to undo past decisions. Mm-hmm. One of the things that they did in the last 6 months is they actually went back and reversed two rulings that had gone the other way before they came on the court. So I think we'll wait to see. Now, what's kind of interesting about all of this is that the past court came under extreme fire by the legislature and Republican governors over the year, because there were some instances where they blocked amendments from going to the ballot. And so it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward.
And if it does make it to the ballot, it would then be subject to what, the 60% threshold for passage that amendments have to meet?
Right. It's not easy to get a citizen initiative on the ballot in Florida. And then, so you go through the Supreme Court review, and if you get through that, then of course you have to get the signatures, which right now, nearly 800,000 signatures that have to be collected by next February. Mm-hmm. And the legislature this past session also passed some new restrictions that make it harder for groups like Ms. Schwartz to get on the ballot. And then they go through all that. And if they do make the ballot, then yes, mm-hmm. it takes 60% vote in order to pass.
All right. Lots of tweets and calls coming into the Florida Roundup. Here's one from Jacksonville. He writes, "I support sensible firearm measures like an assault weapons ban. No large magazines, no AR or AK-style weapons, background checks for all purchases, even private sales, and a licensing requirement equivalent to that needed for a concealed carry permit." We want to know where you stand. Give us a call. It's 305-995-1800. Martin is in Gainesville. Hey, Martin, thanks for your call. Go ahead.
Yes, hi. First of all, regarding Ms. Schwartz and her proposal, the language is tricky. Most citizens who do not handle guns but to react to such an emotional issue don't quite grasp, or perhaps don't grasp, that a smooth bore indicates a shotgun or a pistol. A rifle barrel is a rifle, just that. And assault weapons are rifle barrels. To include the language that would lump in literally every single firearm in the state of Florida is tricky language, and I think it's disingenuous to say that it's not. My second comment is, you have now quoted the polling in Florida several times. I would like you to please clarify
sure.
go to the poll.
And the then I'll
citizens
ask
citizens that, yeah. that took the poll, and I think it would be helpful that we know the reality of the polling, because I don't believe that 60% of Floridians are for banning guns. I just don't think so.
Well, they didn't say that, Martin, but I'll tell you what they did say. When Quinnipiac polled voters in March of this year on a number of issues, and, we consider Quinnipiac to be a reliable pollster, what they said was that Florida voters support stricter gun laws by a margin of 59% to 37%. Now, what that means in particular, as you get more and more into the details of where people stand, some measures are more popular than others. For example, universal background checks, that's more popular than a lot of other gun control measures that are being talked about as we get into this issue. So, Gail Schwartz, let me put to you the question posed by Martin in Gainesville. The language on this proposed ballot amendment, is it too sweeping? And is it, I know you addressed this earlier in the hour, but what about his comments?
People want to be negative about this, but I'll tell you, we already had a federal assault weapons ban in this country for 10 years, actually. And if it was still in place, I know that the deaths that occurred in Parkland and in Pulse wouldn't have happened. And additionally, we already have 7 states and the District of Columbia that have very similar assault weapon bans right now. And we just want to make Florida the 9th to declare that mm-hmm. there is nothing more important than the lives of our family members. I believe it's time to start valuing our kids over guns. We're ready to do something. I know this isn't going to end all gun violence, but it's certainly a step in the right direction. You don't need more than 10 rounds of high velocity, high powered ammunition in order to defend yourself or to hunt animals. I mean, this is just outrageous.
Let me ask you about your nephew, Alex Schachter. He was one of the victims of the mass shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland. Can you tell us about him?
Alex was the sweetest child. He was 14 years old when he was slaughtered, executed, while sitting at his desk in language arts class. He wanted to play music. He played the trombone. He played basketball. I want to appeal to every parent out there, every grandparent out there. I don't believe that we are such a selfish society that we can't sacrifice the most deadly killing machines for the good of our society. And that's why I'm doing this. And I want to encourage everyone, because you touched on this, we need the signatures. We won't get on the ballot unless we collect. We need almost 1 million signatures collected throughout Florida. So while the Supreme Court is reviewing our language, which has been vetted extensively by legal experts, we need to be out there collecting the signatures. If you're with me on this, head over to our website, which is banassaultweaponsnowflorida.org. We've made it so easy for everyone. You can print and sign the petition.
Gail, let me ask you, we will mention we did invite the Attorney General Ashley Moody on for the program. We did not hear a response back from her. We also asked for a statement, did not hear a response back for her. The Attorney General has filed a letter with the state Supreme Court in opposition to the language that you have used in your proposed ballot amendment. And there's lots of callers, and we'll get to a few of these about the types of guns that would be included in this ban. But is it your intent to ban, as the Attorney General says in her letter to the Supreme Court, virtually all semi-automatic long guns in Florida?
How ridiculous would that be?
Is that your intention?
No. And why would I even bother spending all the time and the energy on writing an amendment like that? Because let's be realistic, I know that's not going to pass.
Does that language, though, however, include?
If it's more than 10 rounds...
Here's a, let me ask
there's
you,
plenty
Gail,
of shotguns and rifles that are less than 10 rounds.
Let me ask you, here's a tweet from Mike listening to the show. He says, this language would ban all semi-automatic firearms in the state. This would outlaw my current shotgun, which has been in the family over 60 years. What's your response to those who, they might be with you on stricter gun control laws, but they perceive this amendment as an overreach? What's your answer
first
to those listeners?
If you have the weapon in your current possession, we're not confiscating them. This is to stop the new sales of these weapons of war, their military-grade weapons, from coming into our state. We don't need them. We've already had two mass shootings. And look, if we don't deal with the guns themselves, we are never going to stop the mass shootings.
Gail, let me ask you, what happens to your effort if the Supreme Court strikes down the language that you have proposed? Do you have a plan B? Is there a second proposal that you would put forth?
No.
How confident are you that the state Supreme Court will allow this to go forward?
Very confident of our chances with the Supreme Court. And if presented with the choice to do so, we're confident that the people of Florida will overwhelmingly support this on the ballot. We've never been given the opportunity. Our elected leaders won't even bring it to the floor for debate. So let's take the issue directly to the people. Let them decide. Why is she so afraid? Why is she trying to influence the Supreme Court? Let's see what happens when it goes to the people on the ballot. This is our one big chance to do something big and bold for our state.
Well, Gail Schwartz, who chairs Ban Assault Weapons Now, thanks for appearing on the Florida Roundup. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.
And in a moment, the politics of the gun debate in Florida, a swing state. That's next, along with your calls and tweets. Keep them coming as we take a quick break and then right back with more statewide conversation about the Second Amendment, a proposed assault weapons ban, and more here on the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundup. Thanks again for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami.
I'm Melissa Ross in Jacksonville. Well, the issue of gun control and gun violence came up in the recent Democratic debates as a crowded field of candidates took to national TV a couple of times over the last several weeks. They're all seeking the Democratic nomination to try to unseat President Trump next year. Here's Elizabeth Warren on the debate stage.
Gun violence is a national health emergency in this country, and we need to treat it like that. So what can we do? We can do the things that are sensible. We can do the universal background checks. We can ban the weapons of war. But we can also double down on the research and find out what really works.
We'll go back to your calls on this issue here on the Florida Roundup in just a moment. It's 305-995-1800, tweets at Florida Roundup. As we continue the conversation now with Gary Fineout, reporter at Politico. And Gary, let's talk about this in the context of Florida and its 27 electoral votes. How does this issue play in 2020 as both parties seek Florida, a swing state? Is this a wedge issue, do you think, when it comes to the presidential campaign?
Well, I'm not sure it's a wedge issue. I think it's an issue that could be used to generate enthusiasm on one side or the other. I think that for the Republican side, I think that the issue of, you know, the Democratic candidate is going to take your guns away has proven to be a motivating factor. And I think it's important to always reflect upon in a state like Florida, there are so many diverse interests and this is such a diverse voting base that these elections can be decided in these, you know, I don't want to, in the margins, for lack of a better word. It's like if there's enough of an emotional reaction from a particular group, that could be the thing that pushes somebody over the top in Florida.
Historically, strong Second Amendment supporters have been more likely to vote on this one issue. It does drive turnout. How much turnout do you think it could drive in Florida if the activists that we talked to in the last segment are successful in getting an assault weapons ban on the 2020 ballot?
Well, I think that there is a lot of at least among the political consultants and things of that nature, I think there is a bit of a divide about whether or not constitutional amendments, in fact, drive turnout. And I think we have to be cognizant of, I think there's a lot of signs that 2020 is going to be a high turnout year, regardless of what's on the ballot with, in terms of a constitutional amendment. I think there's so much attention and there's so much focus on President Trump and whoever the opponent is going to be, that I think that these constitutional amendments will play a role to some extent. But I think Florida is going to have probably gangbuster turnout regardless.
The National Rifle Association, yeah. Gary, has been a strong voice and a strong political supporter for its supporters in Florida. But after Parkland, the NRA really publicly came under a lot of scrutiny, a lot of criticism. And to some degree, at least publicly speaking in Florida, certainly in South Florida, quieted down somewhat. What is the status, the stature of the NRA in Florida and within Florida politics, especially as it relates to the legislature?
Well, you know, like I said, I mean, I think that earlier on the show, I mean, they are currently in litigation with the state over the bill that was passed in the wake of Parkland. But they continue to have influence in the Capitol, and they continue to have, I mean, there are a fair amount of legislators who will continue to espouse positions that they view are, you know, strong in the Second Amendment. And, I mean, it's not going to be surprising to me if in next year's session, the 2020 session, that there will be some gun bills that will be advanced by Republican members of the legislature. And some of those bills will be aimed probably at ending what are viewed as gun-free zones. That's what they refer to them as, the areas where people are not allowed to bring guns, and their argument is you should be able to have guns. And I think that I would not be surprised to see some semblance of that debate reoccur.
Lots of tweets and calls still coming into the Florida Roundup as we speak with Gary Fineout of Politico. Just a few tweets for you. Here's one from Lewis. We need the Second Amendment to protect us against an oppressive government. Here's another view from Donna on Twitter. I'm a new transplant from Indiana, and I highly support the initiative to ban assault weapons in Florida. Let's go to Rick in Gadsden County. He's on the line. Hi, Rick.
Hello.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. I think we need to look at the forest rather than the trees, and that's the lack of clarity of the Second Amendment. I think where this is going in the long term, when we have seen enough carnage, We will visit the Second Amendment and revise it to cause ownership of a lethal weapon, as in a gun, to be a privilege rather than a right, much as aiming a two-ton piece of steel on the road at one another by driving is a privilege and not a right.
How do you see that happening, though, Rick? I mean, the Second Amendment, as it's interpreted today, guarantees all citizens the right, not the privilege, to bear arms. So how do you see that, the political calculus on that changing?
Well, the farthest the court got, the Supreme Court got, was that you have the right to have a gun in your home. But they have not gone farther than that. The states have picked it up, and it's gotten out of control. So I think we have to go back to the lead court.
And all right, Rick, thanks for that. Yeah, yes. And certainly, as we've been talking about all through the show, activists, both local mayors and activists behind the ballot amendment, they are trying to change the lay of the land in Florida on this issue. And so thanks for that call. Gary, getting back to national politics, when we watched the Democrats debate on national TV, it was striking to see how split they were on a lot of controversial issues, but not this issue. They mostly spoke with one voice. Therefore, universal background checks, an assault weapons ban, laws to prevent those with a history of domestic violence, say, from buying a gun. The Democrats are united on this issue, and I think it'll be interesting to see how that plays in 2020 in Florida. As you said, a few votes either way can make the margin in this state in a presidential election.
Right. And I think, again, it's going to be an important element of driving out that that Republican base is probably going to be partly related to this issue. I think that the thing about it is that there's in the last few elections, there's always talk about the Democrats and how are they perhaps underperform and things of that nature. But when you look at that 2016 election, what really was striking was the amount of people who came out and voted for Donald Trump and voted on the Republican side. And so I think that they will again make that push in the 2020 election to try to gin up their base once again. And so I think this, and this is one of the issues that, as we discussed, there are people who are motivated by it.
You are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. 305-995-1800 is our phone number. Molly in Melbourne has been patient on line 11. Molly, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
I really appreciate
Molly, you with us?
I live in Wisconsin. Yes.
It's hard to hear you. Go ahead and speak up, please.
Okay, sorry. I live in a really small town in Brevard County, and July 4th we had a few gentlemen go down the street with AK-15s and buy some fishing rods and walk down the street to our beach, put in their line into the water for about 2 or 3 minutes, and then walk away. Now, they got the attention of the police. That's what they wanted. The police came out, and they instructed them that this statute allows them to open carry in the case of hunting and fishing. There's no hunting area in my little town, my one stoplight town in Melbourne Beach. So Judge Dodson's decision will hopefully open the door for my mayor to make a choice based on his constituents, what we want, what we don't want to see. What we don't want to see is people walking down the street with assault rifles and intimidating us when we don't even have a hunting area nearby. Mm-hmm. It was a complete show to intimidate us. And that's, you know, if I'm going to make a decision about voting for the Bond Amendment, that pretty much sealed the deal, because I know that I don't need to be walking around my tiny little town and for my kids to look over and see an assault rifle, men walking around with assault rifles.
Molly, we hear you. Thank you so much for holding on and sharing that story with us. Molly from Melbourne there joining us here on the Florida Roundup. Gary Fineout, let me ask you, kind of the governor here, Governor DeSantis, has not vocally and in a real public way I think kind of tackled these gun issues. Where is he on this? And is there what's the directional governance that you can sense out of the governor's office of where he is?
Well, you're right in that we haven't heard a lot lately from him, but I think it's important to remember that when he was campaigning, he did basically say that there were parts of the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas Act that he opposed, mm-hmm. including raising the age to be able to purchase a rifle from 18 to 21. So he's already said in the past that he's had problems with that law and that he would not have signed it which, as we know, Governor Rick Scott was the one who signed it into law. So while he hasn't basically expressed an opinion sort of late of some of these issues, mm-hmm. I think that in the past he has clearly been in the pro-gun rights camp and has, you know, taken a stance that is more akin to reflecting the position of people like the NRA.
Always so good to have your insights. Thanks for sticking with us for the full hour today. A very hot issue. So much engagement around the state. Thank you. Gary Fineout, reporter with Politico. We appreciate your time today. Have a good weekend.
Thanks a lot.
And that is our show. The Florida Roundup is produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Heather Schatz and Denise Royal are the producers.
Thanks for all the callers and tweeters. Sorry we couldn't get to all of your comments. Jason Zabka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming and our Technical Director. WLRN's Director of Radio Operations is Peter Mertz. Engineering help today from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Brady Corum. Our theme music is provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. I'm Tom Hudson.
And I'm Melissa Ross. Thanks for being with us. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next Friday at noon, Florida.